T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure. We've got too far. There's too much to lose. We've got to...
with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
Your reign on the top was short like leprechauns.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on a Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Swags Plum's coming up. A lot of Game 2 talk. Poll questions to answer. Also have this report out of Bamboo Sushi.
Oh.
There's a report of a suspicious subject out front, male with his pants around his ankles, trying to shuffle. So, keep your head on a swivel down there, folks.
It's a new meaning to the term truffle shuffle.
He's just out there shuffling around Southwest 12th, man. Okay,
do it!
Do the shuffle!
What was that fat kid's name in Goonies?
What was his character's name?
That took in Sloth. What's his name? I'm blanking.
What is his name?
Yeah, we're all blanking. Look at this. Swag's just like, oh, I don't remember.
I gotta Google it.
Good radio moment here of just silence and us thinking...
What is his name? What is his
name? Come on, text police.
Characters, the Goonies movie. Okay, here we go. It was...
Chunk.
Chunk. Yeah.
Chunk.
Oh.
Is that adult Chunk?
How do we not remember that?
I don't know. I just blank. You don't have blanking moments?
I clearly did because I couldn't remember it either. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies.
So is that just grown-up Chunk at a sushi restaurant?
Just shuffling around up front of Bamboo Sushi?
He's having PTSD from the Goonies experience.
You got to do it. We're not going to open the gate unless you can't come into Bamboo unless you do the shuffle.
You know, if he didn't play that piano correct, we would have all died. I know, Chunk. It's amazing that she could read that kind of music and play that piano so successfully, even though she admitted right before she played it, she'd never played one before.
Here you go! Love that movie.
I bet you he became annoying in their house.
He for sure did.
Damn it, Sloth. You ate all of the bonbons? You know, this is a real price tag shopping for this guy. He's a big human. Dad can't share jeans anymore. Sloth rips them. They're turning into shorts.
That's I haven't seen that movie in a while. That's one of those ones whenever it's on TV, it's a stop serve for me.
I watched it a couple months back,
yeah,
and it was one of those, yeah, I was surfing, and I, oh, let's see the Goonies.
Yeah, Goonies is on.
There's a few scenes that you go, this is not aged well.
Yeah.
Chunk's one of them, or no, Sloth is one of them.
Yeah, you can't, I don't know if you can get away with that character these days.
And then they just have moments where they're like, the dad's ripping up the deed, because he's giving up the house, because they found jewels.
Right, right.
And he's throwing it up, but if you rewatch it, it's like a million hands throwing paper from the right and left, and you're like,
come on, it was the 80s, all right? Looser rules back then, okay?
You can't even walk up to that house anymore. The people that evidently live there are not into the whole tourism thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a damn shame.
I was going to show some family members the last time I was in Astoria, and somebody brought it up and was like, they put tarps over it. They tell you to stop at the end of the road. Yeah, I don't know.
Come on. If you own that house, first off, what enjoyment would you get out of living in that house if that's the way you're going to handle it? That's just dumb.
Well,
embrace it first.
You're aware that you bought that house, right?
Like sure.
What it is?
You either embrace it or you sell it and you just get out of there if you want to live a private life. Come on now.
I almost feel like a city like Astoria, and I love Astoria, you should make that a museum.
You should.
That would be kick-ass.
That's, I mean, come on. The Goonies. It's the Goonies.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Game 2's tonight. Western Conference Finals. Blazers got blown out at the end of game one. They ended up losing by 22 points. Now we go into game two, 6 o'clock. By the way, the update on Kevin Durant, Ramona Shelbourne had it today that he's not close to returning. So there's your bit of optimism going into the game tonight. You know, Terry Stotts is a guy that gets criticized a lot, and even from us throughout the course of the regular season at times, for not making enough adjustments. Like, he sticks with his rotations. He's either in love with the player or not. You know, Jake Layman's a good example of that, a guy that can get some good run. And then a couple of bad games, you don't see him for a while. Like, he can be very hot and cold in terms of the way he plays guys and changes things up. And I thought a big reason why they won the Denver series is that he stopped being stubborn, realized the season was on the line, and made the changes he needed to in Game 6 and Game 7. Do we have the same confidence that he's willing this quickly in a series after one game to make the adjustments that clearly needed to be made after game one?
Yes, 100%, because I think he knows as much as anybody else. They're not going to give up hope. But if I'm asking every Blazer fan listening right now, truthfully, do you really think Portland can win 4 and 5 games?
No. No.
So if you don't believe that, and I don't believe it, then Terry Stotts is bringing everything out tonight. He is open to different rotations. He has ideas of what he wants them to do. And if Rodney Hood is riding the hot hand, Al-Farouq Aminu or Mo Harkless are not playing. He did that in game 7. So I know he can be stubborn. That there's no doubt about that. He's not a perfect coach. You know, people that want us to criticize him more, like I do criticize him, but I also want people to recognize he's in the Western Conference Finals with this roster.
Yeah.
Nobody picked that to happen. He's done an amazing job. He has his faults like almost every other coach in basketball. Look at Brad Stevens. He was the golden son of the NBA.
He was the golden goose 2 years ago.
And he had one of the worst years of any coach in the NBA with that roster. So it's tough year to year. I think he's willing to make those adjustments. Yes, because I think he knows deep down we can't win 4 or 5. This is the Warriors, and you have to split tonight.
You got to throw the kitchen sink at him on both ends of the floor, and that comes from schematics and rotations. The one thing I think that we can all agree on, you know, Mo Harkless and Aminu have been criticized a lot lately, and rightfully so. I mean, they were bad in that Denver series. I thought Mo Harkless played great in game one. I think those are a couple of guys, just because the consistency hasn't been there, that you give them a couple of minutes at the start. If you're not willing to change your starting lineup, you give them a couple of minutes and then you go away from them. Like, if Aminu comes out and gets off to the same start that he got off to in game one, there's no reason to put him back in the game. Just like we saw in game, what did he play in game 7? 7 minutes?
I can't remember his exact total, but
he played less than 10 minutes.
He didn't play very much.
He had that initial run, and I don't think they even put him back in because they changed the starting lineup at the start of the third quarter. They went away from it, and they weren't going to go back to it. So I think you have to handle this game and really every game going forward in the series in a similar regard. Now, if Aminu, he can be a streaky shooter. If he comes out and knocks down a couple of threes, shows you that he's bounced back and he's got his rhythm that night, then hell yeah, ride the hot hand. But I would like to see him coach the game tonight the way that he coached game 6 and game 7, and that is making adjustments, changing lineups. If Rodney Hood or Evan Turner are giving you that impact, ride those guys, and I hope Stotts will do it tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait to see if he's willing to do it. And then just also, what's the lineup that's going to end up being the most effective for them offensively? You know, I said mine earlier, Dame, CJ, Hood, Turner, and Collins. I don't know, does it end up being Cantor, Seth, Dame? Seth and Dame, by the way, have had an incredible stretch when those two guys specifically are on the court together. They've been really effective if you go look at some of the real deep dive nerdy analytics. I almost wonder how much run he gets because he didn't have a great game one.
He was terrible in game one.
A lot was made about the Curry versus Curry stuff. He had a quote in a story that people found of, yeah, I think I'm better than Steph. Steph's just the luckiest dude ever. So he really believes in himself, and he's had a good playoff. Does he step up tonight and randomly give you production? Yeah, Is that the guy?
I thought he pressed a lot in game one, really trying to show he was up to the Curry name in Oakland.
Yeah. I think my primo lineup would be the Cantor factor is weird because he's a defensive liability, especially in the pick and roll. But it's not like Collins was great against the pick and roll in game one. He had the same problems that Cantor did. So maybe he's slightly more athletic. The rebounding factor for Cantor is the reason I still want him on the floor.
Yeah, he's
and you can dump it into the block and he can score on his own. Mm-hmm. I would almost go a lot of people want him to go small. I would almost like to see Cantor and Collins playing together with Hood at the 3, Dame and CJ.
Oh, wow. See, I want to go the other way. If they're not going to play, if the only reason Bogut's on there is to counter Cantor, I'd want to see him go really small. I want to see Seth, Dame, CJ, Hood, and Harkless. Ooh. And switch every screen out on top.
That is super small.
and run, 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 run.
That is one thing I agree with you. They need to get out and run more.
What did they have fast break point wise? Was it two?
It wasn't a lot that stood out to me.
Fast break points. Warriors outscored them 17-2.
They're 17-2.
And the Blazers were 1-for-4 on fast break.
Like, how are you not?
Buckets.
Yeah. That's an area that they, and that's an area in which you can find Dame open looks. Is in transition, guys. You're not getting
them time to set
up. Because
actually, Dame and CJ are pretty good rebounders for guards.
They are.
So if they know there's nobody back there that's just going to get everything like Nurk or Cantor, then they will turn around and find a body and go get everything.
That feels odd to only see 2 points. They had a game like that against Denver, too. To see 2 points on the fast break knowing you have Dame and CJ, it doesn't feel right.
Especially for Golden State, a team. I know they were like 50% from three, but they missed half of them. And
Seth will leak out. That lineup could totally backfire.
Are you talking about your lineup? Your small
it's
one?
It's a big risk. I'm not saying that.
Defensively, it's a bit of a
liability.
But
if they're not going to play Looney or...
that would be your
Bogut
best
in there. If
lineup.
They decided to take him out, then I'm like, let's go all offense and then defensively just switch all the screens out on the 3-point line.
Biggest
just
upset.
Don't give him any damn space.
I think a big upset could be if Terry makes a starting lineup change because I know people want that, but he hasn't
been willing to do it.
But what's the leash like tonight for Aminu?
It should be very
short.
It's got
to be pretty short.
Like, I'm talking 3-4 minutes max.
Yeah. I would say, Hood might be in before the first time out.
And if Aminu doesn't give anything, he should be.
Mm-hmm.
So your thoughts are welcome on the lineup changes you want to see. We have a poll question on that. You can vote or fill in the blank, I should say. We'll get to some of those, close out the show. Will they win tonight? And if they don't, is the series over? We will continue to talk about the Blazers and the Warriors coming up at the bottom of the hour. But first, it's time to take a look inside Swag's bag of plums. And we'll do that next on The Fan. Moving in the right direction. Hey, we'll get back into Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals coming up in 10 minutes. Your lineup changes you want to see are welcome. 55305, better you today, text line. But it is a Thursday. Some traditions cannot die. It's a tradition unlike any other. And that is Swag's bag of plums at 2:15. What do we got today, Swag?
Let's see. Update on the Hops public address announcing quest. So I had the interview portion of the beauty pageant,
the
I guess.
The tryout, yeah.
Exactly.
So did you win?
Well, I don't know yet. There's a third stage. So we'll have a talent portion. So we had like the initial thing was like the swimsuit part.
Right.
Yeah. Where everybody got on the mic, did a couple of things, initial first. Okay, does this person have it? Does this person not? So then I got a call back. Then we had a nice conversation with some of the brass of the Hillsboro Hops. So, but it was more in depth. I think part of the thing that's starting to come out is they're hoping to find somebody that can really stick with them for a while so they don't have to go do this every other year.
Sure, it makes sense.
So, yeah, so there's that. But they asked about your philosophy, you know, public address for baseball. And I said, no, I've done basketball, I've done football, I've done other things. But I think for baseball, the trick is to have a presence, but to get in and get out. Don't disrupt the atmosphere of what's going on.
Don't make it about you.
No, it's not about me. It's about the game. Let people know what they need to know about what's going on the field and then what's going on, you know, elsewhere. If there's a promotion, if there's a run the bases for kids after the game, all that sort of stuff. But once the game's going on, just tell people who's up. Tell people who the pitcher is coming in from the bullpen and get out of the way.
Now, how many people are left? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is traffic, what's her name?
Yeah, I believe Jen got a call back for this, too. Oh, so there
mono
was...
Mono.
I know.
So it was...
Jen's going to poison his coffee so he runs. Can you sit down and please do this? No, I have to go to the bathroom.
So we'll see. So supposedly there's going to be some more callbacks and then a longer sort of audition, more game-like of several many things to do in front of probably everybody that's involved with the team.
So how did this open up? A death?
No. No.
Just an old guy out in Hillsboro had the job, was good, but he was like...
No. There was a guy that was originally there, but obviously, you know, had to have another job. Well, his job changed, and so he was less and less available. Because they had called me a couple years ago and said, hey, would you be interested? He can't do it like day games or certain nights or something like that. Would you be willing to fill in? And I said, yeah, I'd absolutely love to do that. But the problem was they'd always call me at the last minute. So there's either something here or something family, and I didn't have enough lead time to do it. So, but they remembered those conversations. And so when this came up, they said, hey, would you be interested in going through the audition? So
now, I haven't been to a Hops game in a couple of years because it's way too far of a drive for me. But if you end up getting this job, I will go to a Hops game
this
summer.
Oh, dude, the very first home game that you do, I'll be there.
Can we heckle you?
I'm not going to go talk to you, but I'll be in there. I'll be
in the booth, secluded.
Swagger,
yeah.
No heckling allowed.
You guys can go down to the grass berm in left field where you belong.
Did not to interrupt your plums, did you see the Shambi Chipper Jones story yesterday?
That was hilarious.
So I was watching the Brave game, and they showed this. So Shambi, if you didn't see this, he's known Chipper a long time. I've been doing broadcasting. When Chipper was playing, he was talking to Chipper pregame against the Padres and said, dude, you're really struggling. You keep swinging at the first pitch.
I think he used to broadcast for the Braves, didn't he?
Oh,
wasn't that the relationship?
Maybe.
Because they were like close. So I think they were like worked together a lot. It wasn't like he was a national guy then.
And Chipper goes, well, it's my opportunity for a fastball. And Shambi goes, yeah, but not that often. And it got in Chipper's head. So that game happens. They start the game. Chipper doesn't swing. His first at bat, he doesn't swing at the pitch. 91 right down the pipe.
Fastball right down the middle.
Exactly what Chipper wanted. He steps out of the batter's box, and he looks up at Shambi, and he shakes his head like, are you kidding me?
Idiot.
It was a great story the way he told it.
If you haven't seen that, go watch it. It was incredibly funny.
Well, we'll stick with the baseball theme. This came out today. This article is at Sports Illustrated. Several people have picked it up. But on July 5th, Friday night, July 5th at Citi Field, the Mets are going to host Seinfeld Night. And it'll be the 30th anniversary of the show's premiere. So the first 25,000 fans will get a Seinfeld bobblehead, but they're going to have Keith Hernandez, the Soup Nazi, and Jerry Seinfeld all there.
Awesome. Well done. I hate the Mets, but that's well done.
So, yeah, it'll be Mets and Phillies. I look to see if the Giants happen to be in town because I'm like, Dirt's got to kind of go to that.
I want to go to that game.
He got Seinfeld, his Giants, the Soup Nazi, and...
That's a perfect combination right there. We should email them and see if we can get our hands on those Seinfeld bobbleheads.
Are they doing bobbleheads? That's what they're doing?
Is that what you said?
25,000. First 25,000 fans get a Seinfeld bobblehead.
Yeah, they probably don't have extra.
It says everyone's encouraged to watch the episode or every episode before the show. But if part of their pregame during batting, if you're there for batting practice, don't you have to just put the episode up on the big screen?
Yeah, you should just be playing the Seinfeld episodes or at least have the music playing in the background. It's kind of a calming music.
There should be a T-shirt, too, with a Mets logo that just says he took it out. I would totally rock that. Again, I hate the Mets.
Yeah, I'd buy that shirt.
We mentioned Burgerville. Klay Thompson's going to get his Burgerville when he comes. One of the oldest Burgervilles is on Canyon Road in Beaverton. It's actually
a cool-looking old-school building.
Well, it won't be cool-looking for much longer. They're going to close it down.
What?
They said,
I guess
it's
always busy.
Yeah, I know, but there's been a lot of redevelopment along Canyon Road right in there.
Somebody made them an offer they can't refuse.
So, well, no, it's if they want to remodel it, because there's no drive-through at it. It's an old, like, diner sort of thing, so it's in the middle and the parking lot's all around it. It's pretty tight in there, so if they wanted to renovate it, there would be a lot of wetlands mitigation and some other environmental stuff that makes the cost more than it's worth.
Are you kidding me?
No, this is a coin six.
Damn it, dude.
So, yeah, it was first opened in 1969, so it's going to be closing.
Like, they're not going to relocate. They're just going out of business.
That one's going to go down.
Wow.
The closest, there's one by me that's a newer one, 185th and Walker Road. That's there in Beaverton. I don't know where there's some others, but
when I lived over there, I always went to that one. Every time I went to Burgerville, I went to that one. And by the way, quite often, their cheeseburgers are delightful.
They are better than In-N-Out. This is the downfall of the just the changing landscape around Portland is when you get stuff like this to close or like Iron Horse is like a hole-in-the-wall Mexican restaurant in Selwood.
No, they're not.
Close them. Building condos there. Yeah, they're going to tear it down and build condos.
So are they just getting a fat offer that they can't say no to?
I'm sure they are. Yeah, I think business. I mean, that restaurant was around forever, but it's...
Dude, they tore
down... In Selwood, they tore down a Boys and Girls Club. They tore down a Mike's Drive-In.
Yeah, that's right. Mike's Drive-In had been there forever. Isn't the only one left 99. Like in Oregon City now or something?
It's in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's over by my
house. It's over off 99.
Because there's one up the hill in old Oregon City.
Is there?
As you go up towards the old high school. There's one up there somewhere.
Yeah, that sucks, man. I hate losing stuff like that for condos. You get some like gross looking metal building.
The frustrating part too is, and I remember reading this last year. I believe it was the Oregonian had the study. They had found out that with all these new apartments being built in Southeast, North, etc., 16,000 were vacant. They couldn't rent them. They couldn't sell them. And they just keep building. I had a buddy of mine, one of our, he's actually a P1. He made a really good point. I had noticed it too, but when he said it, I was like, yeah. Have you guys noticed that everywhere they're building a GD storage facility? Everywhere has like an extra storage.
Yeah.
Like a big storage building. Who's renting all those?
It's a good question.
I feel like they're building these condos, these apartments, these storage facilities. And I'm like, I don't know if you guys have the body to be doing all this.
I don't know. And finally, this from Oregon Live.
You just pissed me off. I love that Burgerville.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's no drive-thru.
I know, it's great. But they said, yeah, its quarters are pretty cramped. And so when it does get busy, there's no room for anybody. So, yeah, it's just becoming too costly for them. There's a study from the Nurses Health Study that began more than 20 years ago. They took 51,000 women who were enrolled. None of them had depression at the time. Part of the study, researchers wanted to determine if caffeine intake made a difference in depression. And what they found was women that had 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day were far less likely to become depressed or show clinical depression than those that did not. So there
drink
is
more coffee.
So yeah.
So my mom's good.
Should be.
I'm not a coffee guy.
Well, maybe that's why you're coffee. Bummer Brandon.
Oh, that's a good point. Wow. Yeah. Just bumming everybody out over there.
No, it actually does the reverse. It gets me tired.
That's not normal.
Yeah, but it's warm. I need a lot of, if you're going to give me caffeine, it's going to work.
Get cold brew. Yeah, everybody's cold got brew. Cold brew
and
now.
A good ice coffee.
I also don't really like the taste. It's one of those, I don't know if you guys have this. Do you like something that you love to smell but not eat? Because coffee is that for me. If I could plug in something in my house to make it smell like a breakfast restaurant with coffee.
Coffee smell. Now,
I would do it, but I don't drink it.
Would you eat coffee ice cream?
No, I hate coffee ice cream. Okay. I hate coffee cake. I hate tiramisu.
I had a buddy like that.
I hate all that crap.
A buddy like that in college with weed.
Didn't like weed?
Would never smoke it, didn't like it, but he loved the smell.
Yeah, sticky icky.
Yeah.
You got that real skunky stuff.
Okay, I'm good.
I can't wait to get Swigart high. It's going to be so much. We might live stream it on the Facebook fan page.
Yeah, this needs to happen this summer. It's going to happen.
We can't be held responsible, Jeff,
no.
If we go live on Instagram super high.
No. What's legal?
We're doing it at Swigart's house.
Yeah. It's on our own time.
If he starts licking his fridge, that's his deal.
Calm down, Swigart.
What if he became the first guy to OD from weed?
Swag, you okay? Swag?
Jason Swigart died.
Cut the live stream.
Dude, we would go down in history as the two guys who helped a guy OD on weed. Would that help the show ratings?
I think we would get fired.
Would we get more numbers for that?
I think we would go down.
Why would we get fired? He died.
I don't think that would be good for our careers. Okay. Good plums, Swigart. Good plums. Let's get back into game 2. Lineup changes, poll questions. We got some audio from Dame and Terry Stotts. All of that is next. Game 2, Western Conference Finals. What do we got? 3.5 hours away. Can I make one request of the broadcasting crew? No more Curry family storyline, please.
Oh, you mean, did you know Sonya and Dell are going to flip coins to decide who they're rooting for? Did you know that?
For the love of God, please stop showing them.
Hey, Dell's wearing the Steph jersey. Sonya's wearing the Seth jersey.
Well, and then they ended up, I hate that I know this, but the jerseys were actually like cut in half. They were half and half jerseys, both of them that they wore. And it felt like every big moment, like Steph would hit a shot in that, like, let's show Sonya celebrating in the crowd.
I'm okay for that.
I mean, she is hot.
She's gorgeous.
God, I'm so tired of that nonsense. I think maybe it's because Seth was awful, too. Like, that might have had something to do with it.
Reggie made a great point, and I didn't think about this. Powell got hurt, but this might have been the... Is this the first ever where we could have conference finals with two brothers facing each other in both West and East? Because Mark and Powell, Seth and Steph.
To be honest with you, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, it would be in the conference finals because this is the first time two have faced off. Powell, though, is out. He elected to have surgery, and so he's done.
Did anybody else not know that he got traded? I don't remember that at all.
Oh, he kind of like... Got, yeah.
Cut?
Spurs were like,
when the hell did he go to Milwaukee?
I want to say past the midpoint.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He was like
at
a
all.
Late acquisition for them.
Way under my radar.
Yeah. Swigert, I just said that. Did you listen to what I said? I said, Pals can't play.
Yeah.
But would this be the first time?
It would have been. Yes.
Swag then goes, yes, in the conference finals, Pow can't play. I know, Swigert.
Ah, we are dialed in today.
John Daly, by the way, I need to point this out because I know you're going to pivot real quick.
Yes.
John Daly has a photo. He has parked his golf cart that he got approved for, and he has a large McDonald's soda cup mm-hmm. in the cup holder mm-hmm. and he's smoking a Marlboro Red.
Yeah. He drove around with McDonald's and cigarettes and playing
I'm
the PGA Championship.
Gonna guess that's not Coca-Cola in the cup.
No.
Oh no, it's Jack and Coca-Cola.
I mean, I'd be willing to bet that.
Oh, see, no, I would have think it's a Spittoon. That's what I'm guessing.
Okay.
Could be. We could all, yeah, yeah.
I gotta be honest, I don't know what that is.
So, Spittoon?
Yeah, don't know.
Spit in.
Oh, spit cup.
But gotcha. I would imagine he would just spit on the rough, though, because he was probably spending some time this afternoon in the rough, so.
That's like a Negroni. I didn't know what that was till Swigert, so I thought, Spittoon, what kind of drink is that?
Well, we're just in the trust tree right now, so I'm going to continue this. How are we feeling about tonight?
I'm still excited. Okay. I have to admit, though, when you lose by 22.
It's demoralizing.
Yeah, like my excitement's there. It's not quite peak game one. But probably come 5 o'clock, I'm going to be getting jacked out of my mind. I'm expecting the worst, but I'm hoping that they really play as hard as I know they're capable of and that Dame gets it going a little bit and that you're just right within striking distance in your final 3 to 4 minutes. If you're right there, that's all I'm asking tonight.
Let me put this ray of sunshine in your day. This from our friends at the Action Network. In the 2019 playoffs, Stotts has done a good job of not losing consecutive road games. The Blazers are 3-0 straight up and against the spread in their next road game following a road loss.
That's true.
Hell yeah.
That's true because they lost game 3 to OKC, won game 4. They lost game 1 to Denver, won game 2. They lost game 5 to Denver, won game 7. So yeah, they have not lost back-to-back road games this entire postseason.
They've really done a great job of responding well, especially in moments where you might be doubting them the most. Let's take game 4 against OKC. I'm not telling you everybody doubted them. I still felt real optimistic given what they had done.
But they didn't play great in game 3.
No, game 3 was bad, and Westbrook had a great game, and they were showboating, and you thought, okay, here we go. And then they responded really, really well. Take game 5 against Denver. Denver goes up 3-2. They win game 6. They go on the road and win game 7 for just the 29th time ever in NBA history that happens. Golden State's a different monster, but they do have an exceptional ability of playing really well and responding just when you might be counting them out.
They really haven't thrown back-to-back clunkers out there all postseason either. I mean, I know they lost back-to-back games to Denver, but game 4 wasn't necessarily a bad performance. It was just a bad quarter. They just had a terrible third. And outside of that, they were right in that game throughout.
The line continues to come down. It's now at 7. It started opened at 8, was at 7.5 most, and now it's down at 7.
Down to 7.
Although they're still plus 250 on the money line.
Yeah, I mean, that's a value bet if you like their chances to pull it off tonight. I think the main thing I'm looking for tonight is you get to this point, and it's not losing that's disappointing. It's not playing
it's
your best.
Not giving yourself a chance.
Because we've watched this team all year. They've had their ups and downs. They've had their clunkers. But we know how they're capable of playing. And it doesn't mean that even if Portland comes out tonight and plays a tremendous game, like their peak level of basketball, it doesn't mean that you're going to win because you're playing the freaking NBA champions of 3 of the last 4 years. Golden State at their best is better than Portland at their best. But you have to play at that level in order to give yourself a chance, hope Steph and Clay are a little off, hope some of the minor adjustments that you make help you out in the long run. When you come out and you play the way they did defensively, when you turn the ball over as many times as they did, when you shoot as poorly as they did, and you're playing with two hands tied behind your back, and you have no chance to beat Golden State at that level. And that is the simple main thing I want to see in game two tonight. Like, go out there and play your game. Be as good as you can be, and we'll see if it means anything. Let's hear from Damian Lillard on the other side. We have a poll question on who wins tonight. Also, the lineup adjustments that you want to see. We threw that out earlier. We'll get to all that. Wrap it up as we continue to preview game two of the Western Conference Finals next on The Fan. Well, we heard Brandon Sprague's dream lineup earlier today. We'll remind people of that here in a moment. But I asked a fill-in-the-blank question at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter today. What lineup changes would you like to see, if any, in game two? Let me run through some of these. Dame running the offense less with Evan Turner running the point. Have Lillard and CJ run like Clay and Steph through screens. Work them more on defense. Limit the energy Dame uses to beat traps. Blazers double team with the ball. A lot of people want to start Hood over Al-Farouq Aminu. A lot of people want more Zach Collins. Those are probably the main two that we saw. Rodney Hood over Chief and then play Zach Collins more. A lot of people, too, chiming in. Jake Lehman, fresh legs, backdoor cuts, drawing charges. Do we want to see more Jake Lehman in game two tonight?
I mean, if it comes to that, sure. I'm not opposed to the Lehman minutes. I also, to some degree, as much as we might criticize what game one was, I also trust him. And if he's not playing him, there's a reason for it. But if you're forced because Mo's having a crap night, Aminu's still not producing, and let's say Seth isn't hitting his shot, I don't know. Who else do you go to? It has to be Jake at that point.
Right.
You need a guy like Jake. He at least has size, athleticism.
He's an energy guy, too.
Sure. So throw him in there, and whether it's for 3 or 10 minutes, let's see what he's got. I'm completely open to anything and everything for Portland tonight, as long as you do what it takes to win the game, or at least put yourself in a shot to win the game. That's all I want.
Let me read two more here. Jeff tweeted us, said Collins at the 5, more Hood at the 3, ET as a small ball 4 to allow Dame and CJ to play off the ball more. Hood, ET, Collins to go with Dame and CJ offers plenty of ball handling, playmaking, and shooting. Cut the minutes of Aminu. And then another one said, get Myers and Zach into the game more. They need to be out there with fresh legs, get more time for Cantor to rest. These guys are tired, and it shows fresh legs will help, even if it's just 4 minutes. That's still something. That is something to keep in mind. Myers Leonard, I don't believe, played until garbage time, or if at all.
I don't think he played in game one.
Did he not even get in garbage? Yeah, they put Scallon at the end.
Scala BCR.
Let's see. Myers did not play.
Did not play. Yeah, even when they waved the white flag.
Yeah,
in the last
Lehman,
minutes,
Scallon, so. Anfernee, Simons all played the last 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
How many shots did Simons get up, by the way?
Oh, he was 0 for 3.
he made sure to get some shots.
Lehman was 0 for 2. Scal was 0 for 1.
He was putting them up. We'll get to your adjustment lineup here in a moment. I do want to hear, though, Damian Lillard. So much is made about adjustments and all that stuff, and the guys talked about it after game one. Here's Damian Lillard to shoot around talking about the adjustments for game two.
Offensively, just taking advantage of the weak side, you know, when they send doubles to the post and to the ball and pick and rolls, making them pay from those things. So going over the things that we want to do to go against that, to make them pay for, you know, all the attention that they're giving guys. And then on the defensive end, like I said, the pick and roll coverages, how we defend things off the ball with all the screens they're coming off of, just kind of clean those things up and go into the next game with a better plan, I guess.
I like that strategy.
So what we haven't talked about at all that I've seen a little bit from a few people who break tape down is they double teamed Cantor 4 times in game one in the post.
They did.
And again, we didn't talk about this, but if you were like me and kind of go, that's an interesting move. It worked. They caused 3 turnovers of the 4 times they double teamed Enes Kanter.
And he, I think, had 4 turnovers for the game, too.
So three
of them were in those situations.
And so that was something else that they really hit on that worked brilliantly for them. And he's been a feel good story. I've loved him. I think he's been great as a Blazer. He's really struggled the last series. He had a couple moments against Denver, but for the most part, you know, he hasn't quite been what he was against OKC.
Outside of rebounding.
Yeah. He's still on the glass. So you're just hoping tonight, if it's the same lineup as usual, he's not susceptible to those turnovers yet again. Because, again, I think that's also the big one to circle. Defense adjustments, offense adjustments. You just can't have 21 turnovers. Right. You cut that number from 21, Dirt, let's say down to 8. Golden State still causes some. Then you're finding yourself in a end-of-the-game situation where you have an opportunity to go steal it in Golden State.
Yeah, that's the beauty of an adjustment in a series is now you know if you're Cantor that's going to come. Like, there's no excuse to not be ready for it now. Game one, I get it. Like, when was the last time we saw Cantor get double-teamed? I don't think we have. So, that was a really unique defensive pressure from Golden State, and it worked. And who knows, maybe they change their defense up as well. Maybe they don't do it as often. But if you're Cantor, you now realize that occasionally you could catch the ball in the post, and there could be a double team coming at you.
Yeah, do you make, like, if you're Golden State, do you even be thinking about changing your defense? It works so well.
No, I wouldn't. I think you continue to pressure the hell out of Dame, keep a big body on CJ McCollum, try and get Cantor flustered, allow Aminu and Harkless to get open shots and open moments, and live or die by that, because at least in game one and last year at times, it's been proven that that's the way you can beat Portland. One line, you came up with the lineup idea, and I'm actually pretty on board with it. Now, Quick was on with Primetime yesterday. He talked about Evan Turner running the point, kind of in a similar regard to Draymond Green running the show for Golden State to free up Dame and CJ. But that's a lineup maybe we see a little bit more of tonight.
I will take the lineup of Dame. This is the lineup I want to see. I want to see Dame, CJ, Hood, Evan, and Collins. Those are the five I want out there. If Cantor gets it going, then fine. You want to play Cantor over Collins, whatever. But I'm more using Collins' athleticism, his length, having a little bit of that pit bull in him. And then I think Evan Turner is very capable of defending Draymond Green. I don't think you need to worry too much about Draymond Green scoring. It's more about, do you have a body big enough? And I think Evan does have that build. I'm not really on board with Quick's like 29 minutes of Evan Turner running the point. I'd be more on board with Evan Turner playing the Draymond role, in the sense that Dame still brings the ball up, facilitates the offense, and if they're throwing doubles at him again, you dump it over to E.T., who's going to be around the free throw extended,
yeah.
And you allow him to dribble in and make the play and find the open guy. You would free things up because you could space Zach out. You'd free the paint up that way. Evan, we saw it against Denver. He's very capable of making at least a layup. And then you'd have yourself three shooters there with CJ, Rodney, and Dame. The key factor, too, is going to be for them on offense. They need to be more active and move. This whole, like, they're tired, and that's what, like, dude, I'm sorry. There's no excuses at this point. Like, everybody's tired. They have all fought to get to the Western Conference Finals, the Eastern Conference Finals. You need to exert yourself. And if that means moving around and creating open spaces and shots, they need to be doing that. You can't just pass to ET and then drift a little bit. Dame does that a little too much. I want to see more movement, but I'd like to see that lineup.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Anything you can do to free up Damian Lillard, I'm on board with it. That was an attack plan that worked for Portland at times in game one, was when Dame would get doubled and trapped off of the pick, dropping it to either Cantor or Collins, whoever was slipping, and they were usually wide open at the free throw line, and they had their choice. Do you want to attack? Do you want to go at the rim? Do you want to pass to whether it be Aminu or Harkless? Cutting to the hoop, like that opened things up for Portland, and it gave them essentially a 3-on-2 advantage. You just have to capitalize on it more often, and I do like Evan Turner's passing ability in that regard. So the poll question we had today, just simple, I mean, no shocker, but who do you take to win game two? 66% of people taking the Portland Trailblazers to win game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight. Are you still dying with the ship?
Yeah, I'll die with the ship, because my ultimate pick will still be right, and I think Portland is going to get a split. I'll go down with it. Let's go.
I'll take the points.
Oh, come on, Swigard. Yeah, I mean,
if you're betting, I'm not going money line
sure,
here.
I mean,
but
it's at +7.
I'll take the +7. But yeah, I do think Portland can win tonight.
Yeah, what the hell?
What's the worst that happens? They lose and you have to say, oh, I was wrong on one prediction. Who cares?
God, I want a split coming back for game three. So bad.
You're going to be at game three with me. How insanely loud is that building going to be if they come back with a split?
1-1 series. Go get a win.
By the way, KD, some people are starting to float out there now that this might be a lot more serious.
Yeah, he might not be back.
Hasn't stepped foot on the court, and he's going to be out for at least 3 and 4.
Yeah.
You just want a chance.
Capitalize, boys. Get it going, Damon CJ. Tighten up the defense. Cut down on turnovers. You're only down 6 going into the fourth quarter. You'll have a puncher's chance. We also talk a lot about the Oregon State recruiting plan. 60% of you say it's a huge deal to not be into social media. 14% say you trust his plan. That'll do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com. is where you can find it. We have John Dickinson on from 95.7 The Game down in the Bay Area for a Game 2 preview. He said everybody down there is saying it's a 4 or 5-game series. We'll see you at Portland. Can prove them wrong tonight. Enjoy the game. Western Conference Finals Game 2, 6 o'clock on ESPN. We'll break it all down tomorrow on a Friday. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
Even more
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.